Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Gimel, and we're holding right at the top. Tana Rabbanan. So when it comes to the Ketoret and the Isser of Knisa Bifnim, it's important to recognize two different psukim, because two times we're told V'lo Yamut in Parshas Achrei Mot. So in the very beginning we have, of course, the Achrei Mot Shnei B'nai Aaron, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Daber El Aaron Achicha, Va'al Yavo B'chol Eit El HaKodesh, Mibet LaParochet, etc., etc. V'lo Yamut, Ki Ba'anan Eroi El HaKaporet. So that V'lo Yamut is saying he should not come in without needing to come in for the Ketoret, or for whatever Avodah he's doing. Then later on, we have V'natan et haktoret ala eish lifnei Hashem, v'chisa anan haktoret et hakaporet, asher ala edut, v'lo yamut. So there's a second lo yamut that talks about the need to bring the haketoret, the ketoret as defined, the proper ketoret. If he does that, then v'lo yamut. But if he doesn't, and it's an improper ketoret, so then the implication is that he is chayev misa. Then there's also the various Isurim, because it also, this talks about the Onesh. What about the Isurim that this Onesh is referring to? So the first Pasuk, of course, said an absolute Isur. Al Yavo B'chol Eit Al HaKodesh. You cannot come into the Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, Mibet LaParochet. And then at the end it says, Ki Be'anan, which is Mashma, that the Al Yavo means do not come without that Anan. And then it says in the other Pasuk, the Lo Yamut seems to be the Isser, the Onesh for coming in without the Ki Be'anan. And the Lo Yamut in the first Pasuk is the Onesh of the Lo Yamut, and otherwise he will die for walking in Al Yavo B'chol Eit El HaKodesh. Fine. So, understanding that, let's take a look at the psukim and get to the very important machlokas between the tzedukim and the way in which Chazal understood the psukim. And remember that this played a very important role. We needed to be a mashbia, the Kohen Gadol, that he was going to bring it in properly, and so on. So let's take a look at the psukim that seem to very clearly say how it is that you need to walk in. Tana Rabbanan. V'natan et haktoret ala eish lifnei Hashem. So that's the pasuk that says, v'chisa anan v'lo yamut. Now that is clearly saying, shelo yitaken mi bachutz v'yachnis. He has to put the ketores while he is standing lifnei Hashem. And that seems to make it very clear. Lo tzi mi liban shel tzedukim, she'omrim yitaken mi bachutz v'yachnis. The tzedukim, on the other hand, hold that he is supposed to somehow or other get the ketoret going before, and then walk in. Now, this is, very problematic for them, because, not only does it say in this pasuk, v'natan et haketoret ala eish lifnei Hashem, but remember that before this pasuk, it said the pasuk of that yikach melo machata gachalei eish v'yavi mibet laparochet. That's the pasuk that comes first, and then it says, this pasuk, that he should be natan et haketoret ala eish lifnei Hashem. So, the whole thing is clearly saying, walk in, take the machata, walk in with the machata, and then the next pasuk says, and take the ketoret and put it on the eish when you are lifnei Hashem. How much more clear can it possibly be? So what were they thinking? These tzedukim. Why did they say that the pasuk, according to them, would mean that you're supposed to be mitaken mi bachutz, my dorush? Well, remember that the pasuk does say right at the beginning, "Ayavo b'chol eit el hakodesh ki be'anan erael hakaporet." I will appear only with the anan. So then that means that don't walk in without that be'anan erael hakaporet. So apparently, say the tzedukim, Melamed, yitaken mi bachutz, you should walk in with that anan, v'yachnis. Said the chachomim, but how can you read that? If it said, v'natan et haketoret ala eish lifnei Hashem, So how could you be mitaken mibachutz? So would you like us to explain to you what the point is of the pasuk ki be'anan era'eh? I'll explain it to you. Im kein ma tamud lomar ki be'anan era'eh la kaporet. That's coming to tell me a different halacha. Melamed shenotein ba'male ashan. The ki be'anan means that you have to be careful that you will put in an ingredient in the ketoret that will cause the blossoming of an anan and not just smoke that comes all around. That's not an anan. So it's like we call a mushroom cloud, right? So a mushroom cloud is called a cloud, not just, that's what's unique about it. It's not just as an explosion leaves a whole smoke all over the place, but a mushroom cloud is not smoke all over the place. And that's exactly what, as we're going to see later on, what we want to have in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is a mushroom cloud. So we have a stalk that goes up directly to the top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then it spreads, fills the entire top like a mushroom, and then it starts coming down along the walls to fill up the rest of the room. So a classic mushroom shape. So that is the meaning of the Be'anan, which you guys miss entirely. And that is coming to teach me in that posik, Be'anan era la kaporet, make sure that your ketoret includes Ma'ale Ashan. So how do we know that you're supposed to put in Ma'ale Ashan? The Gemara, of course, is going to ask, what? You just said that that's the reason that it says ki be'anan, fine. But let's ignore that for a moment. U'minayin shenotein ba Ma'ale Ashan. So how do we know that you absolutely have to have this Ma'ale Ashan? Sheneemar v'chisa anan aktoret et hakaporet. It says over here, in the later pasuk, remember, the pasuk that the Tzedukim had brought was the opening pasuk of Acharei Mot. And over there it says, v'lo yamut, is in terms of coming in, al yavo b'chol et al hakodesh. But this pasuk that we're referring to over here is the later pasuk, which is pasuk Yud Gimel, where it says, v'chisa anan aktoret et hakaporet, we have to see to it that there is a cloud that covers over the kaporet. And then it says, v'lo yamut. And that seems to be saying that if you did not include Ma'ale Ashan, and that there wasn't ha-ketoret, anan ha-ketoret, not anan ketoret, as it was defined in Shmot, how exactly do you make the ketoret? So if it was chiser achat mikosa maneha, then he would be chayav mita if he brings a ketoret that is inappropriate, then velo yamut. In that case, he will be mate. So we have two separate issues over here. And according to Chazal, the velo yamut in the second pasuk, in pasuk Yud Gimel, as opposed to lo yamut in pasuk Beit, which was referring to the al yavo b'cholet al hakodesh, the pasuk Beit means for coming in without needing to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do these avodas, and without bringing the par ben bakar and the ketoret. And the second pasuk Yud Gimel, there the v'lo yamut is talking about using anything but ha-ketoret, the ketoret as defined, which has all of its ingredients, im chisra achat b'kol samaneh chayav mita, so missing an ingredient, or not having Ma'ale Ashan in it, which is not listed in the ingredients of the Ketoret, and therefore not being able to be Mikayim, the Pasuk of Vechisa Anan HaKetoret et HaKaporet. Now the question, of course, is, asks the Gemara, what is the point of adding the Velo Yamut? I mean, how many times can the guy die? I mean, if he's coming in without the Ketoret, without the proper Ketoret, it already says, Va'al Yavo B'chol Eta LaKodesh, V'lo Yamut, right? So he's not following the instructions of how it is that he's supposed to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he's already going to be Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim from Pasuk Beit, V'lo Yamut. That's called Biyare Kanit, coming in without having your hands full of what you need. So it's an entry into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for no purpose. And it says beferish that he's going to die min ha-shamayim for doing such a thing. So what's the point of mentioning separately v'lo yamut? And we're not talking about something that is going to be mechayev a korban chatas that we need in the different chatas for each thing. There's no chiyuv karet over here. And therefore, it doesn't make any sense to tell me that the guy's going to die twice for basically for the same action. So let him be chayev to koma ayo bi'ari kanit. On Rav Sheshes, well, he's not going to be chayev if he does something b'shogeg, correct? So suppose the guy did not know that he's not allowed to come in without the ketoret, and he did know that he's mechuyev to put in all of the ingredients, including ma'ale ashan, into the ketoret. So then he would not be chayev for the bi'arei kanit, but he would be chayev for what he did wrong knowingly, and that was bringing a ketoret that was not the correct ketoret. Rav Ashi says, you don't even have to come on to that. Let's say the guy could be amazed in both of them. So then what's the point? He can't die twice. Very simple. Suppose he brought in both ketorets. He brought in the correct ketoret that had all its ingredients, that had ma'ale ashan, but he also brought a separate ketoret, and that ketoret did not have ma'ale ashan. So on the bi'arei kanit, he won't be chayev because it wasn't the bi'arei kanit. He came in and he actually brought the ketoret correctly. But for bringing the other ketoret, which was without the ma'ale ashan, or perhaps missing one of its ingredients, on that he would be chayev v'lo yamut. So we'd be talking about going to ayo shtei aktarot, achat shlema, and one of them was chaser. Because of that, on the bi'arei kanit, he's not chayev, because it wasn't a bi'arei kanit, because da ayale shlema, he came in with his correct keteres. Masha in came for bringing a keteres that was chasera, he would be chayev. The komaktir keteret chasera, because of what he did, knowingly, and over there, he is dafka going to be chayev. Okay. There is a question. Because of the fact that the Rambam basically mentions the din of the Chiyav Misa for Ma'ala Oshan, specifically B'nogea Yom HaKippurim. And it does not mention Ma'ala Oshan B'nogea the Keteres that you use Kol Yom HaShana. So apparently, the issue of Ma'ala Oshan is not the equivalent of a Keteres Chasera. And this actually, some of the Achronim, including the Beis Yosef, say beferish, the ma'ale ashan is not considered to be an actual samamonim of the ketoret. And that was the whole story, remember, we had before, that the umanim from Alexandria came, and they knew how to make a ketoret, but they didn't know about ma'ale ashan. So if you're going to tell me that they knew how to make a ketoret, but they didn't know ma'ale ashan, isn't that a contradiction in terms, if we're saying now that ma'ale ashan is one of the samamonim? So apparently, you see from here, this is the Beis Yosef's Raya, you see from here that it's still considered to be a ketores. It's just not the correct ketores that we want, l'chatchila. So, okay, this question is how far he's going on over here. Because remember, when we had that Gemara, we mentioned that the idea of the particular Ma'ala Asha that the Beit Aftinus were aware of may not be ma'akev, the ketores. There needs to be a ma'ala ashan. So there are other plants that are also ma'ala ashan. The particular ma'ala ashan of Beit Aftinas that they had a Kabbalah on that they wouldn't tell anybody, that was the ma'ala ashan that caused it to be metamer va'ela like a mushroom cloud. And that was very specific. Okay, there are others that learn that there's an afkamina between the ketores that is brought every day, and the Keteres on Yom HaKippurim, and the Raya to that is where they bring the Rambam, that the Rambam only brings the halacha of missing out on the Ma'ala Ashan of Beit Aftinas. He brings only B'nogei Yom HaKippurim. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to what we just said. Did you just say something weird? The Chachomim explained to the Tzedukim. Why does it say V'chisa Anana Ketoret? That's to tell me that you need ma'ale ashan. And then the next words are, uminayin shemali ma'ale ashan. What? Omar Mar Minayin Shenotein B'Mahalei Ashan. Talmud Lomar V'Chisa. What? You just brought the pasuk. Were we bringing another pasuk to bring a raya to that pasuk? Kra l'kra. Why do we need a pasuk as a raya for the first pasuk that you brought, which was V'Chisa Nana Ketaret? Omar Rav Yosef. The Brisa means like this. Ein li ela ale male ashan. If you just told me that one pasuk, I would say you need to use the actual leaves of the male ashan. That's where you get the main effect of the mushroom cloud. But how do you know that you could even use the ikar of male ashan? You could even use the root, which is not as effective, and that would be okay. Talmud lomar v'chisa. Therefore, the Torah says, V'chisa anana k'taret, as long as it's mechaseh. Omele Abaye, wait, what are you talking about? It's the exact opposite. The main part of the malashan plant that causes the mushroom cloud is actually the root, not the leaf. Though Ibchatanya, it says just the opposite in a braita. It says, the Tanya, Natan ba ikar malashan, and then the mitzvah is to put in the root. And that would cause hayametamereva olek imakel. That would cause the anan, instead of just being smoke, it would go up like a cloud that was on a stick, meaning like a mushroom, and it would magielish mekorah would come up until the very top, and then it would spread. Kivan shigielish mekorah would spread all around the roof, and then it would start going down the walls when there was so much ashan on top that the cloud was filled. Then as it continued to raise the smoke, it would be mamashmesh v'yored baktalim. So what would happen, of course, which is always what happens when you have this kind of situation, is that the part that cools starts falling down because it's heavier, and it comes down along the k'talim as it cools, as it goes out. And in the end, it fills up ad shenitmaleh habayit ashan, sheneamar, that's good for the pasuk, v'habayit yimaleh ashan. This is, we see the same thing in Yeshayahu when he's talking about the presence of the Shekhinah, and he talks about the shaking and so on, that then the house became filled with this ashan. So we're saying it's the same idea. I mean, we don't really mean to say that necessarily there's ketores there. We're just saying that the ashan in the bayit is the gilui that comes when the Shekhinah comes. Okay, so you see that you usually use the ikar, not the ale, so you got it wrong. Yellow Amar Abaya, therefore, says Abaya, what Rabbi Yosef said was backwards. What the Brisa is saying was, Ein li ela ikar male ashan. If I wouldn't have had the extra pasuk, I would have said that you could only use the roots of male ashan. How do I know that you could even use the leaf of male ashan? Ale male ashan minayin. Talmud lomar v'chisa nanak torat. So therefore, we have two psukim. The first pasuk of Bezot Yavo Aron el HaKodesh is talking about the fact that you need kiba anan era'eh. That would mean the strongest anan that was possible. And that would be a reference dafka to using the root of male ashan. Comes along pasuk Yud Gimel to say v'chisa nanak torat. As long as there was something there that would cause this mushroom cloud, then you would be able to be yotze, and therefore the ale would also be sufficient. Rav Shesha says, I don't think that's why we brought the extra pasuk to tell me just a remes to the difference between the parts of male ashan. I think the meaning is like this, that the Braisa is saying, okay, you've shown me that we absolutely have to have male ashan, but you only showed me that when you were talking about the Ohel Moed. V'yavoh b'chol et el ha-kodesh, mibeit ha-parochet, ki banan el elah. I mean, all of that is talking about the story of the Midbar and the Mishkan, and this is all in the context of the chinuch of the Mishkan. I mean, how do we know that this is true in future generations when we don't have a Mishkan, and we weren't being led by a cloud, like an anan that led us all the time and then stood over the Mishkan? I mean, how do I know that the din of the Ketoret is applicable to other situations? And that even though we don't normally see an anan, that anan erara kaporet is still true in terms of Yom HaKippurim, even when we went to Shiloh, even when we built the Beit HaMikdash. How do we know that? So, Ein li ela ohel moed shebi midbar. Shiloh u Beit Olamim minayin. Therefore, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we have the extra Pasuk to tell me, V'chisa Anan Haktored, throughout all the generations, forget about the Anan, Kiba Anan Era'eh, which was true in the Mishkan, but this is always true. V'chisa Anan, that you're supposed to bring in an Anan with, when you come in order that it should be Mechaseh, that's still true. Says Gemara, well, I don't need a Pasuk for that, Reb Sheshes. It says beferish, v'chein yaseh le'ohel mo'ed ha'shochein itam betoch tumosam, right? So, I mean, that pasuk is essentially saying, wherever the ohel mo'ed is, and it's shochein itam, wherever you are in history, that it's shochein itam, that you need to do what it is that you were doing here. And that pasuk, it says, beferish v'chiper al hakodesh, after describing the entire avedas ha'omayed, it says, v'chiper al hakodesh, mitumot b'nei Yisrael, umipisheihem l'kol chatotam, v'chein yaseh l'ohel mo'ed, ha'shochein itam betoch tumasam. What is that pasuk coming to tell me? I know that you need to do the avedas in the ohel mo'ed. Each one of them was set separately. V'yatzai al hakodesh, and so on. So what does it mean, v'chein yaseh? V'chein yaseh is coming to tell me that even where there is no Mishkan, but you have Shiloh, or you have the Beis HaMikdash, you have a second Beis HaMikdash, whatever the circumstances are, do this Avodah on Yom Kippur. So how can Reb Sheshes say that I need the extra pasuk to tell me to do it in the Beis HaMikdash? True. Okay. Elohi kama. The reason that we need the extra pasuk is as follows. That ain't the Ela b'Yom HaKippurim, I would only know that there's a chiyuv to put in Mala Ashan Dafka on Yom Kippur, because over there we need to have the Kiba Anan Era'eh. How do I know B'Shar Yimot HaShana? Where does the Torah tell me that every single day, B'Boker U'Be'erev, that we're Mechuyev to also have an Anan? Oh, that I know from Talmud Lomar V'Chisa. Fine. Now, according to the pshat that we said before in the Rambam, that there is a difference between Yom Kippur and the rest of the year. So that pasuk that we just quoted, Alibid Reb Sheshes, the Gemara, so the Mishnah Melech who's explaining that pshat in the Rambam, he says that the Rambam is pasuking against this drasha. Because in other words, we have over here a Macholkes. So how do we understand the second pasuk Yud Gimel, from the V'chisa? So if the way the Gemara just darshan it, there's no difference between the keteris that's brought every day and the keteris that's brought on Yom Kippur. The Rambam, who does not bring that difference, according to the way that the Mishnah Melech understands it, so he says, in Achinami, the Rambam is not going according to the Shita and the Gemara. Ravashi Amar. But anyway, but I mean, we do see over here, that's how he's understanding it. We do see over here that we need a special pasuk to tell me that these halachas of Ma'ala Ashan are nogea all the year round. And that would explain why, if the Rambam doesn't hold that we have the extra pasuk of V'chisa, that therefore he would paskin that the concept of Ma'ala Ashan is only ma'akev on Yom HaKippurim. Rav Ashi says, look, I have a very simple explanation of why the Braisa would say, U'minayin shenayisim ba'ma'ala Ashan. That's because we are dealing with the Inyanim of Kachim, correct? Now, you'll tell me, okay, but I know that on Yom Kippur, everything that it says on Yom Kippur is Ma'akev because it says Chukah. This is the Chukat Olam, right? Wrong. Because the making of the Ketoret is not part of the Chukah of Yom HaKippurim. The making of the Ketoret is a Halacha Bichlal. How to make the Ketoret? That comes back in Shemot before we ever heard of Yom Kippur. So how do I know that it's Ma'akev since it's dealing with one of the Karbonas? And as we know, unless you have specifically the word Chukah, or unless you have the other indication, which is the repetition of the Halacha, Shona b'hakatuv la'akev, that the Torah mentions it twice, I wouldn't know that it's Ma'akev. Therefore, says Rav Ashi, it's very simple. Chad la'mitzvah. First of all, we know that is a mitzvah that you're supposed to see to it, that kiba anan. But how do I know that it would be ma'akev, the whole din of the Avedis Yom HaKippurim, if I don't put in the Ma'ala Ashan? That I know from the repetition of V'chisa, specifically that would also be ma'akev. Rava says, I have an even simpler explanation. Chad is for the onesh, and chad is for the azara. What does it say over here? It says, v'ayavo b'chol eis el ha-kodesh, ki be'anan. What does that mean? Do not come unless you're bringing in that anan with you. Okay, so that means that if you come in with adana anan, so then you don't have ma'ale ha-shan. You did an iser. But the al yavo b'chol eis el ha-kodesh v'lo yamut is not the iser for not having ma'ale ha-shan in the k'tores. It's the iser, it's the chi of misa for what it said at the beginning of the pasuk. Al yavo b'chol eis el ha-kodesh. How do I know that even if you weren't chai of misa, such as the case we spoke about, you brought in two ketorets? How do I know that there's a separate chiev on the iser lav of ki be'anan? That I only know from v'chisa v'lo yamud. So that's different. So I need to have, as I always, I have an iser, and then I have the onesh of the iser. The Torah is never manish unless it tells you the azara. I need to know the Azara, but I also need to know the Onesh separately. One Pasuk is the Azara, the first Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel is the Chiyav Misa. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, V'lo Yamut, that is the Onesh in Pasuk Yud Gimel, is talking about the Onesh for not having Ma'ala Asha. Kiba anan era'eh, that is the azara for not having ma'ala asha. Now, you might have thought, says Rebbe Eliezer, you might have thought that this pasuk was said before Nadav and Avihu died, so that it would explain, therefore, why they died. Because, I mean, after all, they knew you were not allowed to go in and with the ketoret, and if you did and you walked in without that need, that you would be chayav misa v'lo yamut, right? So you might think that you were actually aware of that, and that would explain why it is we had both an azara and an onesh, and the Bnei Aaron were aware of that azara and that onesh, and that's why they died. No, it is not true. Because I know that it's not true. Because look at the pasuk. How do we know? Yochu yushneim amuri. Look at the pasuk. It says, Acharei mot shnei bnei Aaron. So apparently, the entire pasuk of the v'lo yamut was only said after the death of Bnei Aaron. You might have thought that both the Isser and the Misa was said after Misa Shnei Bnei Aaron. No, doesn't mean that. Why? Because the Pasuk ends with Kiba Anan Era'eh Ala Kaporet. We don't understand what that means, but we'll talk about it in 1 minute. So that must mean that part of it was said after the death of Bnei Aaron, and part of it was said before the death of Bnei Aaron. How do we understand that? Haketzat, Azara, so the Iser al Yavo, that's Koda Misa. But the Onesh v'lo Yamutu, that was said only Li'achar Mita. Even though what he seems to be darshaning over here is the v'lo Yamut, and the v'lo Yamut is Pasuk Beis, not Pasuk Vav. And that's all in one Pasuk. And nonetheless, he's splitting up the pasuk to say that part of it was before and part of it was after. The Gemara is going to say, "My Talmudah, how can you? Where do you see that? My Talmudah, or my Rava?" Because look, the word is kiba anan era'eh. Kiba anan era'eh means I will be seen. But if that's true, then it means that adayin lo nir'ah. That means that when this pasuk was said, the Shekhinah had not yet appeared. And that must mean that it had to be before Aaron's children died. Because by the time Aaron's children were nenash, it already says, Vayera'e kvod Hashem to everybody. And already that must mean, so in other words, the pasuk is beautifully split. Vayedaber Hashem acharei mot shnei bnei ba'aron. And then the iser in the lashon of do not, al yavo b'chol eita l'kodesh ki banan eira'eh, that part had to have been seen before. So therefore, what part is said? Acharei mot v'lo yamut. Which is exactly the way that we understand in the Midrash. So that, why does it say acharei mot? Moshe l'mad over deimeh, that the doctor comes in, as Rashi brings, and he says, listen, you better not overexert yourself, or don't eat this particular kind of thing so that you won't die the way so-and-so died. That's much more powerful than just telling a guy, don't eat this food. Okay, fine, you know, a little bit of ice cream here and there is not going to kill me. Want to bet? You're going to die the way this guy died. Okay, so then it will kill me. So that's exactly the point over here. V'lo yamut, yisad acharei mot shnei b'nei Aaron, v'al yavo b'chol eita l'kodesh, that is said, ki banan eira eh, which means it hadn't yet happened, and therefore they were aware of the iser, but they weren't aware of the onesh. So if they weren't aware of the onesh, that means that we cannot attribute their death to doing this action because they didn't do it b'mezid. They weren't aware of it. I mean, even though they knew the iser, but it's still considered to be a shogeg if you do not know the onesh that's involved. So how then can I explain the fact that they were punished in this terrible way? Ve'ela mai taima I anush. Kidatanya, this is Rebbe Eliezer very consistently, because Rebbe Eliezer gives me another reason for the onesh. And what was that? Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Lometu b'nei Aharon, ela al shahoru alacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. The only reason that they were nenash, they didn't do anything wrong in terms of the actions that they did. The only thing that they did wrong is how they arrived at the conclusion that they're supposed to take those actions. So what they did was they darshaned the pasuk on their own, and they acted without discussing it with Moshe Rabbeinu, without asking him reshus to do a hora'ah that was nogea the avodah of Kol Yisrael, which is an incredible pegia in the dinim of Kvod HaTorah. And because of that, they were darshaning v'natnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eishal ha-Mizbeach. So what they said was, that's us, b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen, yup. And what does it say we're supposed to do? Put your own fire. Af al pi sha'esh yoredet min ha-shamayim mitzvah la'vi min ha-hedyot. It says, okay, so that's what we got to do. But since they were Mora, the actual halacha, not just that they understood it, but to be Mora Hora'ah means to do the event and said, this is what needs to be done. Okay, of course, as you know, this is only one of many different approaches. Some say they went in Shtsuye Yayin, obviously, or they went in Peru'e Rosh, or they said, Ematayamutu Shnei Zekenim Alalu V'Hanun Aniges Yisrael, etc., etc. There were many, many approaches because there were many aspects to what happened, and the specifics are obviously not the point that the Torah is coming to make in defining the level of Kedusha of the Oil Mayit. Okay, so now we understand the two Psukim, Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Vav. Now, it says that the Kohen Gadol, it says in our Mishnah, Kavi, it says in the Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol then walked out backwards, which was the way that he had walked in. Where did they get the idea that you should walk backwards? Yotze uvalo derech knisato. I mean, you could argue that walking backwards is weird, and that I understand that it's inappropriate to turn my back on the Shekhinah. But on the other hand, we always say that you don't do funny things. So is this a correct hanhoga to go backwards? Where do we see in the Torah that there's actually a concept of walking backwards from b'fnei Hashchina? Mino ani mile. Amar Reb Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Look at this weird pasuk, and you will see how we know it. This is a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, in which after the beautiful dream that Shlomo HaMelech has, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he's going to be given in Divrei Hayomim, it doesn't use the word Leiv Chacham, but it talks about Chochma Vadad, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him that since that's what interests him, that's what he's going to be given, that's for free. Besides that, he's going to get all of the other brachas that he could have asked for and didn't ask for. Anyway, so he's very happy. So he goes to celebrate this, brings a carbon. Now, at that time, of course, The Mizbeach was in Givon. So he went to Givon. But it says in the Pasuk, Vayavo Shlomo Labama Asher B'Givon Yerushalayim. Well, what in the world is that supposed to mean? How can Shlomo go to Givon and go to Yerushalayim? I mean, it could say, Vayavo Shlomo Labama Asher B'Givon Mi-Yerushalayim. Yeah. It could have said, Vayavo Shlomo Labama Asher B'Givon Vila Yerushalayim, in the sense that he then returned to Yerushalayim. But how could it just throw in the word Yerushalayim? What is that supposed to mean? V'chima inyan Givon etzel Yerushalayim. I understand. It's not the same place. You can't say Givon slash Yerushalayim. So what does it mean? Ella, what it's coming to tell you is that Givon slash Yerushalayim is a hekesh. Makish yitziato mi Givon lebiato mi Yerushalayim. That's the point. Going from Givon to Yerushalayim, mi Givon to Yerushalayim, is no different from coming from Yerushalayim to Givon. In what sense? That just like when he was coming, Mabiatom Yerushalayim le Givon, he was facing Givon, because that was the direction of his travel, and Ponov klape bama kiderech biato, so too when he left Givon, he was still facing the same direction that he had been facing before. And Ponav klape bama kiderech biato. So that shows us that Shlomo HaMelech felt that he needed to go backwards. And if that's the case, every Kohen goes backwards, every Kohen Gadol goes backwards from the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the V'chein Kohanim b'avodatam, and this is where we learn out, continues the Braisa, the Kohanim, whenever they're bringing their Aveda, the Levim are on the Duchan, Yisrael or b'ma'amodam, they don't turn their back to the Beis HaMikdash, they walk backwards. Kishayin niftarin, lo ayu mechzirin p'neihem v'olchin, elamit sadedim p'neihem v'olchin. They would walk, I mean, they would face a little bit backwards so they shouldn't fall over. I mean, that would be a little bit ridiculous to go backwards and then to do a somersault would definitely not be a covet. So they would walk sort of facing forwards and looking backwards. So they were mitzadedim p'neihem v'olchin. This is the same way that a Talmud who is niftar mirabo should not turn his back, but should be lo yachzir panav v'yelech. He should also turn sideways and be hoylech. And this is what Rabbi Elazar used to do. Kadavi miftar minei de Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Elazar would leave the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, kadavi boy Rabbi Yochanan l'segui, or either way, if Rabbi Yochanan was going out, Rabbi Elazar would stand and held his head bowed down. Adavi michase Rabbi Yochanan minei. So, until he could no longer see Rabbi Yochanan, which would mean that Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't see him turning around. And when Rabbi Elazar wanted to go, lo havika azir le'achore, he would walk backwards until he couldn't be seen by Rabbi Yochanan. Adem ekasi b'nei de Rabbi Yochanan, which would mean that when he turned around, he wasn't turning his back to Rabbi Yochanan, chas v'shalom, Rabbi Yochanan was already out of sight. Now, Rava went even a step further, because Rava's Rebbe was Rabbi Yosef. And first of all, Rabbi Yosef was blind. So Lemaisa, to turn your back to Rabbi Yosef, I mean, is not insulting to him, because he has no idea that you're turning your back to him. And furthermore, what Rava used to do is literally walk backwards. Rava would not turn to avoid falling over, and he always fell over. Well, sort of. Because you'll remember the Gemara, it's really weird that Rava had this propensity to be insensitive to any kind of physical damage when he was emotionally or spiritually high, right? So we had the famous Maisa. We had the Maisa of the Tzeduki who walks in. He sees Rabbi Yochanan is sitting there. He's going up to think about a sefer, and he's looking. He has his fingers underneath his feet on the ladder, and he forgot to remove his fingers from under the ladder, under his foot, and there's blood dripping down out of his finger. He's not paying any attention. That's when the Tzeduki yells at him, "You idiots! all of this connection to Torah, you don't even realize what's happening till you look at you." Well, the same thing used to happen over here. Every time Rav backed up, he used to bang his feet on the floor and the floorboards on the door by Rabbi Yochanan. And the floor by Rabbi Yochanan's door was covered with Rava's blood because he would refuse to turn to the side. He didn't think that that's covered. And he would literally walk backwards. So Avi Ozi Le'achore Ad Menachvan Kare, until he hurt his legs, Umitvas on his kuf to the Rabbi Yosef Dama. And the whole entryway into Rabbi Yosef's house was covered with Rava's blood. So, of course, Rabbi Yosef himself didn't know what was going on. So somebody told Rabbi Yosef, the Talmidim told Rabbi Yosef, you should know the covet that Rava does for you. Hoki Avi Rava. So when Rabbi Yosef heard that, he said, Yehi Rava, with this, the covet that you show to the Torah should be shown to you. And the Torum Reshach Akula Karocha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu lift up your head, meaning you should be the Rosh Hashiva over the entire city. Omer Rabbi Alexandri, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. There's another halacha that is nogea us every single day, three times a day, that we learn out from this Mishnah. And that is that in the same way that you walk backwards from the Oren, every single time that you are being mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember you're standing in front of the Oren. And this is the way that the Shulchan Aruch brings it. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi. And that Shivisi Hashem means that you have to walk backwards from your tefillah the same way that the Kohen Gadol walked backwards from the Aron. It's an amazing sense that at the end of the tefillah, you have a deep sense of where you have been. Some people look at it, okay, you know, okay, bye-bye tefillah. That's not the point. The point is the opposite. So Amit Palel, you have to walk back three steps. Know exactly why three steps, we'll talk about. But after those three steps, you should then say shalom. So, I mean, the pashtas of the saying shalom, even though this is not the way the Beis Yosef brings it, I mean, the pashtas of saying shalom, and I think the way most people feel about it, is that they're excusing themselves to the Shechina. But, I mean, the way that the Beis Yosef brings some of the Mefarshim is that you're saying shalom to the side, shalom, shalom, as if now I'm talking to people. But until now, I was standing in front of the Shechina, and there was nothing in my life at all except my standing, the Amida Bifnei HaShechina. So that basically, which is a beautiful approach, it's not intuitive, but it's a beautiful approach to be able to sense the Havdalah. And that's by the going back, then you're being mavdil, so to speak, the same way the Kohen Gadol would then go to the other side of the parochet. So you're being mavdil. And until now, I was in front of Shechina, now, shalom, shalom, how's the world doing now that I'm back?
I'm coming off the Akedah and re-engaging.
Whoa. A lot of stuff over there. I don't know if I can keep up with all of this stuff. So whatever it is that you're adding, if you'll show us the Bekeres, we'll be happy. Okay. And then he should give shalom afterwards. Now the question is, Bichlal, why there's three steps? So there's a lot of issues, but why the three steps? It's very, well, I'm supposed to have my do not disturb on, and Ira said that will make all of these noises go away, and I did everything that I was told to do, and ase ata ma she'iftachtanu. It's not working, Ira. Anyway, so we'll go over this after. Yeah, it's coming out of my Mac, making all of this noise in the middle of Shir. And I absolutely ossered it from doing that.
Well,
okay. Okay, so one of the most fascinating approaches to the three steps is why afterwards we say the Yihiratzon Shibaneh Beis HaMikdash and so on. So they learn that the three steps are connected to the three steps that Nebuchadnezzar took when he was running after the secretary. And he said, oi, I put Chizkiyahu's name first. Oi, what am I, crazy? Write first, Le'eloiha. Write, well, he was the secretary. So he tried to stop the shliach because at that point he was the secretary. And because of that, he was zeicha to be the one who had the keach to be machriv the Beis HaMikdash. So we take three steps keneged, and then we say, Yiratzen Shibaneh Beis HaMikdash. It's that one that accounts for the interrelationship. It's amazing how, like, all of these little things that you just sort of take for granted are these strange little menagim, you know. It turns out that they're very chashuv. Okay, but then there's other approaches that maybe the Kohen, when he came off of the Mizbeach, it took him three steps to get to the Kevesh, is one of the approaches of the Ge'enim. Others learn that it's Keneged the Sholesh Bechitzais of the Choshech Anan V'Arafel, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to go through. Maybe that's what it's talking about. Others learn that it's Keneged the Malachim, that are by the Merkava, where it says Veragleim, which is two, Regal, which is three, Regal Yeshara. So it's a remez to the presence of the Shekhinah and how to act in the presence of the Shekhinah with the Merkava. Okay, in any event, this additional thing that we do, which is the Oser Shalom Bim Ramav and all of that, that is not brought here at all. And it's not, it's actually, it comes from the Tur. And the Tur brings this from Mefarshim, that they bring this and say that's what we should do. It became our minhag, but it's not built into that. That's the Shalom that you should say. The Oser Shalom Bim Ramav Yaser Shalom Aleinu, because in a way that's sort of different than what you should be saying. Omer le Rav Mordechai. Now, who is Rav Mordechai? That is a big question. Is there, in fact, an Amora called Rav Mordechai at all? So apparently, I mean, this comes from the Rif. Most of the Gersos in the Gemara do not have any kind of Rav Mordechai. And it's interesting that actually the Rashba speaks out that there is no Amora Rav Mordechai. And that essentially what happened over is that the Rif brought from one of the Ga'anim, and there is a Rav Mordechai Gaon, and then people saw it in the Rif, and then they slipped it into the Lashon in the Gemara proper. But in any event, so they made it Omar Le, which doesn't make sense that this that a Gaon should tell Rav Alexandri anything. So Kivin Shepozer Shalosh Pesiot L'Achorav, when you walk backwards, three Pesiot, stay there. Stand there. How long is it supposed to stand there? That's a big issue. Stand there until when? I'm sure you're aware of the fact that there are those who hold you should stand there until we start Kedusha and don't go back until Kedusha. Many have that minhag. Lemaisa, I mean, it's Arba Amais is the way. Kedei Hiluk Arba Amais is the minimum shear that you should stand there. Because if you don't, so then Moshe L'Talmida Niftar Mirabo. Remember, we've been comparing the backing away from the Shekhinah to the backing away of Rava from Reb Yosef and so on, right? So you can take that a step further. Imagine a Talmud who walks away from the Rebbe, and then he says, oh, wait a second, but I remembered I wanted to ask you something else, you know? So that would then, and then he walks back in. So it would be obvious to anybody that he's Doma Lekelev Sheshav Al Kiyo. He's like a dog walking into his own vomit. Why? Because like this, we understand his learning from his Rebbe was something that wasn't his business. It was their business. So they were working on Divrei Torah together. So it's like Shmuel and David that are being Eisik bin Ayot. But the moment that it just becomes a casual kind of thing, so then basically that's like a dog that is, well, you're gonna lick up your own vomit. What are you, crazy? So now you're being mezalzel, everything that it's all about you. So that's mamish, this idea, and therefore if you do that, it's like you're showing the Shekhinah, oh yeah, listen, I forgot I had other things I wanted to talk about, so excuse me, but what about this, or what about that? So that it's obvious that walking back immediately after you walked away is horrifying. So therefore, if you understand that the idea is the saying shalom and the taking leave, so to speak, so then obviously you should not walk directly back. It has to be clear that my walking back is not to where I was. I'm now in a different place. Tanya Nami Hachi, there's also a riot to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Hamit Palel Tzarek Sheyafsiya Shalosh Pesiyot La'achorav Ve'achar Kach Yiten Shalom. If you don't do that, then Ro'ui Lo Shelo Yitpalel. It would have been better if you wouldn't have davened at all. Because basically, you weren't davening to Hashem. You're trying to take advantage of, I have a list of needs. You know, that's not called davening. You know, that's like Marilla told Anne of Green Gables after she gave the list. You know, Anne asks her, was that a good davening? So did I do it right? Yeah, if you were making an order at a catalog store, it would be just fine. That's exactly. So that's what you're making yourself look like. You know, what this is called the tefillah. Better not to daven like that at all. Umishum Shemaya Amru, Shenotein Shalom LeYamin V'Achar Kach LeSmol. You have to also give the shalom that we spoke about, which explains why we turn our head to the right and to the left. Shenema Mimino Ish Dat Lamo. So first you do Yamin, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah from his Yamin. And then there's another pasuk that says, Yipo Mitzitcha Elef Urevava Miminecha. Look at the difference. 1,000 or 10,000. So your right hand has the power to hold off 10,000 mazikim. Your left hand only has the power to hold 1,000. So obviously the right is adif. I understand, but why do we need a second pasuk to say the same thing that the first pasuk says? It says, Mimino Ishtat Lomo. No, that doesn't prove anything, because V'chi Teima Urcha Demiltahu L'meitav B'yamin. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah B'yamin, like all of the inyonim that we say are Kedei L'Sabera Ta'ozen. You know, so when a person does something, he hands it with his right hand. So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu handed you with the right hand. It's not that there's some kind of etzem chashivas in the yamin. No. Tashma, the giving of the Torah miyamin is a special anhaga that gives a stronger nesina. That's the point. So Rava once saw Abaye who finished davening. He walks backwards, his three steps, and then he bends his head to the right, and then he bends his head to the left. And Rava said to him, wait a minute over here, you completely misunderstood. What you thought going to the right means to go to your right? Why should you go to your right? If we're talking about Mimino Eshdat, it's to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right. So you should be saying Shalom to your left first and then to your right. And because of that, I meant the small didachka Mino, which is Yamino Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the point. So look, I mean, this makes it very clear that the Shalom is being addressed to the Shechina. I mean, you can't say it's just saying hello to people around you. So, once we come out with this, nobody's chaylik on this. And therefore, the intuitive sense of what the Shalom is very clear, at least as a minimum level of what you're doing. Omer of Chia Bereda Ravuna, I also noted that both Abaye Varova, when they walked back the three steps, they walked back the three steps with their head down as if they were bowing, but not separately. They walked back the whole time, all three steps was with one bow, and then there were no shalom to the two sides. And at that point, you're mispalot tefila ketzora, babaya tachitzon. When you're inside of the heichal, the Kohen Gadol, he says a brief tefila. What would he say? Rava baravada v'ravim baravada tarvayom mishmei derav amrei. Yehi ratzon nilfanecha shem lokenu shetehei shana zo gishuma u'shechuna. It should be a rainy, hot year. What? Hot? Why would he want to have a hot year? I mean, I understand that he needs to talk about the weather, because after all, Yom Kippur is the chok of the year, and this is now all of the parnasa that was mitzukan on Rosh Hashanah. Now this is the final psak and so on. So of course you want to talk about the rain. You want to talk about the weather. After all, we talk about Rosh Hashanah. All we were talking about was how much rain there was going to be, right? So you think it's a small issue. You say, well, what'd you discuss? Discuss the weather. You know, nothing. Oh, no. That's what it's all about. Okay, so what's so good about a hot year? Shkuna malyute, this is a good thing? No. So what he would say is, Ema, he davened, if, chas v'sholem, it's a psak that it has to be a hot year, at least it should be a geshuma year, so things shouldn't dry out. We should have lots of rain. Revacha b'rei derava misayim ba mishmei derav Yehuda. Lo yadei avit shultan mebeis Yehuda. There should be no end to the Reish Galut. So this is obviously now an addition for the Yemei HaGolus, that there should be no end to the Reish Galut in Bavel. That's the Shultan Mibes Yehuda. V'lo Yomcha Yisrael Tzrichin Lefarnei Zemizeh. People should not need to give tzedakah. V'lo Tikanes Lefanecha Tfilat Ovrei Drachim. And people that are walking on the road and don't want the rain, don't listen to their davening. Oh no, please stop the rain. But it once happened that Reb Chanina ben Doza was walking along the road, and all of a sudden it starts storming. Poor Reb Chanina ben Doza obviously doesn't own a raincoat. He can't afford a raincoat. So shada mitrale. So he says, Ribono shel Olam, the rain is wonderful for everybody else. Kol Olam kulo benachas. And it actually was in his chus, the rain. So it says, Kol Olam kulo nizam b'shvil Chanina v'ni. So I'm very happy for the rain, but poor little Chanina is really not happy. Chanina v'tsar. So immediately the rain stopped. And then when he came home, ki ata lebeita, so he says, Ribono shel Olam, now look at this terrible situation. The whole world is in tsar. They were hoping for rain tonight. Chanina is perfectly happy. I mean, it's none of my business because I don't own any kind of field, so it makes no difference to me. But I'm okay now. So the rain started to kind of fall down again. Omer of Yosef, nu, maya hanyalei tzeluse the kohen gadol legabe Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. A kohen gadol, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa lived at the time when the kohen gadol was being mispalel still. So you would think, I mean, isn't that what he's not vis-a-vis Reb Chanina ben Dosa? Oh no, that's like trying to hold off a tornado with a screen door. Reb Chanina ben Dosa does not have to worry about the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. Toner Rabbanu Maase beKohen Gadol Echoche Harich betefillato. There was once a certain Kohen Gadol. By the way, in the Yerushalmi, it says that this Kohen Gadol was actually a reference to Shimon HaTzadik, and from the story, there are many who understand that it's a reference to the last year of Shimon HaTzadik. So he already had seen that terrible vision of the Malach that was all dressed in black and they didn't come out with him. And he was very, very nervous about what was going to happen to Klal Yisrael if there's no Shimon HaTzadik to protect them with his chus. And in fact, we saw that from the time of Shimon HaTzadik, everything went sour and all of the beautiful simonim that were there during Shimon HaTzadik's life, in the menorah, and the red that turned white, and so on, that they didn't happen after that. So he davened a long time, and they decided, oh my God, something must have happened to him. Are we allowed to go in? They decided we have to go in. Maybe he had a heart attack, and they were just about to walk in the Isser in order to save Shimon HaTzadik and run into the Heichal. And they were going to be nichnas acharav, and they were just about to go in, itchiloim nichnasim, as he's coming out. Oh, God. What happened? Mibnei ma'am erachta bitfilatcha. What in the world? She says to them, hey, guys, cool it, man. Kashi beinechem shitpalalti aleichem ve'al bet hamikdash lo yecharav. What, you're complaining that I sat there davening that you would be okay? The Beis HaMikdash wouldn't be destroyed. This is bad. Omrulo, so they said to him, man, don't do that again. Al di ragila sotken. Remember, it says in the Mishnah, lo haya marich betfilato kadesh lo lahavit et Yisrael. Now, I mean, the pashtus of this is obviously that's not what they said because there was no Mishnah. But we always do that. We stick in a later, you know, a later pasuk that was said by David HaMelech into the mouth of Avram Avinu, or we stick in a Mishnah into the mouth of someone who lived 300 years before the Mishnah was written, which was this. But there are those, this is one of the rayas from the famous Maritz Chayas approaches, that the Mishnah always existed way before Rebbe was Davka, the Mesader, the Mishnah, exactly, the Mishnayas were all there. So when he learned it, it means Bepashtas. Hareshanino, we have this Kabbalah, and that became the Mishnah. And therefore, we put it over here on our Mishnah, Lo Yarich Ben Tilato, Kedei Shelo Lavit Yisrael.